Welcome to the Brian Beebe Half Hour Variety Hour. It's really 15 minutes of fun, music, and laughter stretched out into something much, much longer. And now, here's your host, Brian Beebe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. All right. Hello, everybody. It's Brian Beebe once again. This is Wednesday, it's 5 o'clock, a new time for our weekly podcast, weekly get-together here. I hope there's a bunch of you out there paying attention and getting ready to call in. Our number here is 608-210-1667. We're live on Facebook and on madisontalks.com. If you can't find us on live on Facebook, go to madisontalks.com, and at least you can hear the live audio, or you can hear it anytime you want. If you can't listen to the whole thing right now, you can always go back and listen to the whole thing anytime you want on madisontalks.com 24/7. Anyway, we're brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill, and we're going to talk a little bit about some concerts that are coming up at Monk's. And by Sorrento's Italian restaurant at the great big Wilderness Resort in Wisconsin Dells, where I play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday from 7 to whenever we fall down. Depends on how much everybody's drinking, I suppose, or how much I'm drinking. I don't usually drink that much, but anyway... Yeah, it's getting closer to Christmas. We're past Thanksgiving now and Black Friday. We talked about all that last week. This week, we're going to kind of get ready and get thinking about looking forward to Christmas. It sure got colder. I saw on the weather that we dropped in the Dells, we dropped 34 degrees overnight from 55 or 60 to 20, something like that, with wind chills of below zero. I mean, it was really, really cold yesterday. Yeah, and so we're ready. It's there's gonna be snow. You can say how much you hate it, and you tell everybody how much you don't want to see it start snowing, but it's gonna happen. You know, maybe it won't be. In the last couple of years have been very light. The last 5 or 10 years, you certainly wouldn't want to own a snowmobile or a snowblower, a business, a dealership, because there wasn't a lot of snow in the last few years, and I don't know why, but except to say that the weather's changing. They've been talking about climate change. And it was so windy yesterday. I was working at the hospital. I volunteer at the hospital in Baraboo a couple of days a week. And every time the main doors would open, not only did it blow in a bunch of leaves, but it blew so hard that it would blow the door on the other side of the main entrance open. So, I mean, the wind would blow even harder, and I swept up leaves about three times, and then I just decided to leave the leaves there.
Leave them?
I'm just going to leave them right there. Mike Brockerville, thank you, man. But anyway, so get ready for Christmas now, and get ready for the snow. I mean, I don't ski or snowmobile or ice skate or anything like that, but I don't hate the snow. I mean, I don't want to. I guess I'd rather have snow coming down on my shoulders if I was out in it than rain. Cold, cold rain. I mean, if it's right there at 30 degrees, 29, 30 degrees, I'd rather have snow that I can just do this.
Well, then, yeah.
Yeah, I can just do this than having it be soaking me to my skin and being that cold out. You know what I mean. But anyway, we got some Christmas songs and Christmas stories and Christmas jokes, and we hope that you'll call in with your requests or questions or anything. But first, before we get into the Christmas things, I'm gonna I'm going to try to make myself a little less issue-oriented. I think we kind of lost a little steam because I got away from the music and a little bit more into the windmills and politics and
dying birds
and that one thing we got into, I don't know, there was graveyards and dying birds and whatever. It was just we kind of lost our way, but I gotta say this, it's pretty obvious by now that the division between the left and the right in this country, the Democrats and the Republicans, is becoming wider and wider all the time. And although there are quite a few Republicans that almost seem like Democrats, and vice versa now, the rift between the parties is much, much deeper than it used to be and wider. But on the plus side of it, this is the way it has always gone. The Republicans get into office, and eventually everybody gets tired of that, and then they elect a Democrat. And 4 or 8 years later, they're tired of that, and somebody convinces them that they need a change. And then the Republicans are back, and then 4 or 8 years later, somebody says, wait, we can't have any more of this. The country's going to hell in a handbasket. We got to get back to the Democratic view on things. And it changes back. You know, it just, but nothing really ever changes for us.
Can we call that overarching yin and yang politics?
Yeah, I guess you can. It sure means that nothing really ever changes.
Balanced.
Yeah. And here's what, the last few, and I'll tell you my view on voting. I mean, I kind of pay attention to the news and pay attention to some of the issues. And as much as I feel like I'm kind of clued in, I never feel like I really know enough about any particular issue to really have a valid opinion or a vote on that issue. Do you know what I mean? And there's a lot of people who don't pay attention at all. They call them low information voters, because they're out there voting with their, with fervor and conviction, without knowing much of anything except they really hate that guy,
yeah.
And they much more prefer this guy, and it doesn't have to be anything that they know about that particular candidate. Could be totally wrong, but they're out there and they're voting, and isn't it funny that most of the elections that we've had in the last, as long as I can remember, 25, 30 years, are always, 51 to 49, 51 to 48, 52 to 49. You know what I mean? They're so close because nobody is clearly better than the other. They haven't convinced the country that they're clearly better anyway. And but the one thing that I do notice, the people that are fervently in Trump's corner, really clinging to Trump, even with all the negative press, are people who kind of wish things were the way they used to be. They want a strong president. They want the office of president, the president of the United States, to be right and be worthy and be a statesman. Again,
role model.
Yeah, they would like that to be the model for everybody, they trust because they want to trust. So that's why they cling to Trump, is they want that office to be respectable, and they want us to be back to the day where you just go ahead and presidents are statesmen, they're always right. Which brings me to another quick thought. When I was a kid, and I'm way older than most of you, but when I was a kid, the chief of police and your local attorneys were all respectable guys. They were worthy of respect. They were, if they were aldermen or if they were mayor or if they were a lawyer, they were statesmen. They were generally respected people. And somewhere along the line, and maybe the 60s are responsible for this, because the 60s and lots of the lefty politicians of the 60s called into question things that we always took for granted as respectable and intelligent and right. So whether they were right or wrong, those lefties, they called attention to the fact that these institutions, they called it the establishment. Anything to do with the establishment was wrong to the lefties of the 60s and the political leaders of the free love and anti-war movement and all that stuff were against all those institutions that, when I grew up as a kid, we all assumed they were respectable. So, I mean, I don't know where it is now, but it seems to have wobbled here and there, you know, Clinton's troubles, and come to Obama, and people just hated the idea that he got in there for whatever reason, because he was black or because he was well-spoken or put a lot of rules and regulations in place. Like for example, just before he left office, he put all those millions of acres of land out in Utah that they just released. He put those into trust for the federally protected lands, and Trump has just signed them back into, I don't know, state control. But he's taken those millions of acres and those monuments out in Utah, and taking the restrictions off of that that land too. And who knows? I don't know what's right or what's wrong there. Was there too much land in the trust? Was there too much control by the federal government? I don't know. But they did undo some of that Obama stuff. Anyway. Let's talk about, here's the other thing I was going to talk about today. I saw something about the new owners of the Oscar Mayer building in Madison here taking over, and it showed some of those, we're going to go to break here in a minute. There's a big auction going to take place at the Oscar Mayer building, and I was surprised to see that all this equipment, huge steaming and cleaning and cutting equipment and lifts and what did they call those things that would carry a big pallet, end loaders, and what do they call those, forklifts?
Yeah.
And so dozens and dozens of them are going to be in this auction. Well, what does it mean? Did Oscar Mayer just take off, leave that building and everything in it?
Yeah, sounds like.
Yeah. I mean, how does that work? You wanted to close the Madison plant, and that was a big thing. It threw a couple hundred, 300 people out of work and stuff. But
maybe
why wouldn't they at least take their stuff?
Maybe it was seized through the bank or bankruptcy or something. Like
that one particular business?
They're going to try and recoup with the auction.
I don't know, but this was years ago now.
Yeah, just sad.
So, yeah. They didn't get right on it and get some satisfaction to those banks. Anyway, that's call in. It's 608-210-1667. If you want to talk about anything, Trump or voting or Republicans or Democrats, I don't care. I'm with you. Whatever it is, let's talk. And then I got a story about a karaoke contest I entered years ago. And we're going to talk about Christmas caroling. I might even read you a story that I wrote and published online about those days. Anyway, call us. It's MadisonTalks.com. We're live on Facebook. It's 608-210-1667. Brian Beebe.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. No, I'm not. Really not. I say every year, you know, I'm doing a lot of Christmas songs in my act now at Sorrento's. I wait till after Thanksgiving and start it up. But I love Christmas music, and I'm doing quite a bit of it now each night at Sorrento's. But, you know, I always say I'd like it to be an inch or two on December 24th, and then December 26th, it gets warm and melts it all. So it's nice, and it's white at Christmas. And I'm sorry
and
about
this.
You're
done this. With it, huh?
Yeah, and then it's gone. But I'm sorry that the ski hills are suffering. I live out by Christmas Mountain in Wisconsin Dells, and they make a lot of snow. And if it's cold enough, that works fine. They have these huge blowers that they basically shave the ice. They'll take ice and shave it and then blow it up the mountain, you know.
Yeah.
And it's really pretty because it gets all through the trees everywhere. It blows everywhere and sticks to the branches of the trees and stuff. And they usually only make snow if there's none or if it's too warm. And they got to cover the ice. People don't want to ski on ice. They want to ski on powder. So they cover the ice with powder. And anyway, it's all over my neck of the woods there. It's real pretty, the trees, when they make snow. But anyway, that's part of what's coming here. I got snow shovels, and funny enough, I got a lot of things in my life that kind of multiply all on their own, Mike.
Yeah.
You know, like I can't remember ever buying more than one snow shovel in my life. But how many do you think I have in my shed?
More than
about
one.
About five
huh?
or six, yeah. And I don't know where they come from or how I get them. The other thing I used to find, and I'd buy a capo for my guitar,
sure,
you know,
sure.
Change the key of your guitar. And I'd put it back in a case or the bag. There'd be three or four more in there that I didn't know
that's
I had.
That's better than not being able to find a capo.
Yeah. Yeah. But I even had some in there that were definitely not ones I bought. You know, they were like the brass colored ones instead
oh, okay.
of the black.
Yep, yep.
Now, where did those come from? I don't know. But here's another one that I bought several, way too many of these. Every time I needed to convert like an XLR plug to a quarter inch,
yeah.
I'd go and buy that long adapter
for
thing,
sure.
You know,
yeah, the thing you got to like
yeah.
plug it in halfway yeah. to make it work. And
well, yeah, because it was all it was shaky, you right. know, it wouldn't fit in or take. But those long adapters, I'd buy one every time I needed one, and of course they piled up in my bag too. If I ever just saw them in the, if I just saw them at the store, I'd say I better get one of those because you never know when you're going to need it.
Yep.
And then, so they're in my bag, still in the packages, you know, because I never even used them. But anyway, that's not for the normal consumer that's listening to my show. That's kind of an example of how goofy I can be, how goofy the musicians can be. At least I don't have a lot of really expensive overlaps and guys that buy something for $500 and then they get home and say, well, I could have used that and that and that, you know. Anyway.
Or two compressors.
Yeah. what do they call it? Attenuators. And you got, I got all kinds of guitar pedals. I finally just gave them away. Anyway, I wanted to, I've had somebody ask me to read this story. And then I'll sing some Christmas songs that we used to sing when we'd go caroling. This is kind of a story about caroling and about Christmas has gone by. I've written quite a few short stories, and I publish them online on a site called Booksy.com, Booksie.com. And then you just search my name, and you'll see the stories that I've got on there. Yeah, and if you have anything that you like enough to let people read it that you've written, consider going on Booksy. It's free. It's easy. They help you make little cute little covers for your book or whatever you're putting on there, and it's there for good then, and people can find it all the time. But this is a. I posted Christmas memories on Facebook a week or so ago about when we used to decorate up and down the street in our little town in Christmas time. This one's different. This is about the music of Christmas, and it starts out this way. It's called Christmas Memories Part 2. This is me writing. I've always liked church music. I've never been a particularly religious person, but I've always loved the sound of a choir, regular people with average voices singing for the love of singing. Sometimes singing in harmony and sometimes singing together in unison. That's why I've always loved Christmas music and Christmas caroling. My father liked music, but wasn't gifted enough or wasn't interested enough to pursue a deeper understanding of music. In spite of that, he would always sing out loudly on Sunday mornings. My mother was a little more musically inclined. She played the clarinet in high school and college years, in her high school and college years. And I think she enjoyed that enough to find that those sounds filled her heart when she was older. I remember being taught by my mother to sing harmony at a very young age. She liked to sing to herself as a young mother, probably to get away momentarily from the tensions of raising two preschool-aged children. In her mind, she missed the harmonies from her youth when her older sisters would play the piano or when her college band would play an ensemble. Sensing early on that her son was interested, she gave him a few lessons on singing two-part harmony so he could add those parts from her memory. The hardest part of learning to sing harmony is to stay on your own part while listening to the other part so you can blend your part to the other. This skill became very important to my life and my career. Christmas caroling made it clear to me that these lessons were common in the education of my parents' generation. Lots of our parents could do it on the fly, in any key. Somebody always seemed to able to find a complementary harmony part, which made the music so much more full and more powerful. Am I right, Mike? Our parents can do this stuff.
Yeah, that's cool.
Christmas time for several years meant that my family would attend a Christmas party in the home of Ed and Lucy Monroe. They had three kids around the same age as my sister Beth and me. There were two families of Monroes, and they were all part of a circle of friends my parents made when they all settled into the same neighborhood of small post-war houses in Rockford around 1950. They all started their families together. We would get together with these families year-round, but the annual Christmas caroling parties were, for me, the most memorable. Ed and Lucy had done well and had moved into the biggest house of all the families in the group. I remember the two-story foyer always had a huge Christmas tree soaring to 15 feet or more. It was the very first time I'd ever seen bubble lights on the tree. So cool. The party always started with lots of food and drink, Christmas cookies of every imaginable variety and shape, fudge and divinity, and many other Christmas goodies, all wonderful, and eggnog, and gallons of hot chocolate. The grown-ups were drinking other things. Yeah. Eventually, we would all bundle up and go out on a cold night and stand in the glow of somebody's porch light watching a big cloud rise up from our breathing. The music was magic. They heard us all over the neighborhood and watched us approaching through their steamy windows till we got to their steps. There were lots of us, so we weren't often invited in. Sometimes we were. The Carolees would stand up with their front door wide open, singing along or just grinning through five or six songs and then bidding us a heartfelt Merry Christmas as we shuffled away. Sometimes they would don their gay apparel and come with us. Sometimes we got into cars and drove to the neighborhood of somebody's friend or relative, and sometimes we just stayed in the two or three block area around the Monroe's house. Wherever we sang, we brought warmth and cheer to others and enjoyed ourselves and each other immensely. Wes Monroe was our unappointed but capable leader. He had a strong voice that would set the range and guide the others through the lyrics when they were unsure. It worked well, and our repertoire always included O Come All Ye Faithful, O Little Town of Bethlehem, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, Silent Night. There were a few changes once in a while, but we always finished up with We Wish You a Merry Christmas, We Wish You, as we moved along to the next house. Caroling was common and popular then. People were mostly on the same page when it came to holiday traditions. We could actually run into other happy groups out caroling in the same neighborhood on the same evening. We gave so much enjoyment to others and got so much in return that it's a wonder to me why people don't do it anymore. Merry Christmas, Triple B. Brian Beebe. That's how that went. It's pretty obvious when you think about it now why people don't go Christmas caroling anymore. Years have gone by in my musical career where people said, yeah, we're going to go Christmas caroling. And sometimes it would be on a night that I had to work, couldn't go. And sometimes they would say they were going to go Christmas caroling and not actually ever put anything together. It's just, there's lots of people who like the idea of Christmas caroling. Or they, if you decide to go and you want to go someplace safe where they really appreciate it, arrange to go to a nursing home of some kind or a hospital ward, or because those people would just love to have you there. And there's nothing, they might even provide you with cookies and hot chocolate or something afterwards, but there's nothing going to be dangerous about it. You know what I mean? Some people maybe don't go caroling because they're afraid of neighborhoods, and they don't know. But we always went to people's houses that where somebody knew somebody. You know, it's like trick or treating. You don't go to strangers' houses if your mom is taking you as a little kid. They're going to take you to houses where they know somebody's, you know, not crazy and not going to be bothersome. But the other thing that might be on people's minds about Christmas caroling is that most Christmas carols, lots of them anyway, are a profession of your religious beliefs.
Right, yeah.
And people are a little bit shy about laying their feelings about religion or about Christmas on other people, whether they're a Christian or not. You know, it's just, people have grown a little bit reluctant to share their feelings about religion and about Christmas and stuff, about the meanings of these things, about Jesus and the nativity and all that stuff. It's like the nativity can't be in the public square anymore. You can't have the Ten Commandments in the courthouse. It's just religion has taken a back seat to a lot of things. So that might be why they don't go now, too. Anyway, we're going to take another little break, and then I hope you'll call in, 608-210-1667. I'm going to play a few of those Christmas songs that we used to sing when we were caroling that I don't do at Sorrento's because they're not exactly bar Christmas songs. They're the more religious ones, anyway. And I'm not saying anything about my feelings about religion at all. I'm all about the songs and the music and the way it makes you feel and the songs that we used to sing. It's simple as that. Stick around. 608-210-1667. It's Brian Beebe brought to you by Monks and Sorrentos.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com. Looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
TV. Have we got the keyboard up, man? I didn't even try it. Yeah, there it is. Stevie Ray taught me that. Stevie Ray's on the phone. Hello, Stevie Ray.
Hello, Brian Beebe. How are you?
Where the heck have you been for years and years now? I haven't seen you for...
Well, it's been weeks and weeks, but yes, I've been rather busy with holiday shows and things like that myself. I've been listening to your... I like that story.
Yeah, thank you.
I've been listening to that. I do agree with a lot of what you're talking about as far as how you feel about religion and bringing that into the songs, that's expressing how you're feeling. But, you know, on the other hand, too, there are many, many songs that are just winter songs.
Yeah.
Jingle Bells, Winter Wonderland, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Here Comes Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with Jesus or the birth of Jesus or anything like that.
Yeah.
And it just gets put... You know, this is an interesting one. I get to play Snowbird.
Oh yeah,
during Maggie's Christmas. winter shows.
Yep, which and you have coming up at the Crystal Grand here next week. Is it this
that's
weekend?
That's right. It's this coming Sunday.
This coming Sunday,
we'll be on the Midwest Country TV show on RFD TV, and we'll be performing our Christmas show there as well. Yeah.
When is that?
That'll be Christmas Eve. At 5:00, we taped that show last week.
Yeah, but it's up in Minneapolis or something. Where do you have to go for that?
That's between the Twin Cities and Duluth, a little town called Sandstone, Minnesota. It's a little. It looks like a movie theater, and really, what it is a regular theater with a real stage.
Yeah,
and they're set up with several cameras, and what they do is they tape these shows.
Right.
And cut and paste them, and then a lot of folks that are listening. I guess their audience is somewhere around a million or a million and a half.
RFD TV. I have that on my cable mix.
It's a Charter cable. It's a cool little hometown type of thing. And they have this on the network there.
It's on Christmas Eve at 5 o'clock, our time.
Yeah, 5 o'clock Central.
All right. Well, I'm gonna page through until the 24th and get my TiVo set to record that. But I will also be at the Crystal Grand Sunday for that show. What time does that happen?
That'd be great to have you there. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, the more the merrier. I mean, it's a large room.
Yeah.
And it was spreading a little Christmas cheer here and there. But get back to what I was talking about. I wound up playing the song Snowbird, which really doesn't have anything to do with Christmas. It's not a Christmas song.
It's not even a snow song, is it?
I don't know. It was a hit. I think it was a
little
hit.
Little snowbird,
like
take me with you when you go.
Yeah.
To the land of sunny beaches where the peaceful waters flow, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and Chet Atkins did a version of that song, and it was a...
On the guitar instrumentally? That'd be cool.
Yeah, it's an instrumental. Yeah.
Oh, fun.
But that's the only time of year I play it.
Well, yeah. And
that's kind of rather odd.
Well, sure.
It's a cool song. I like playing it.
Yeah.
I have fun playing it. It's even more fun when I get it right.
But the visual, the snowbird visual is wintry, and it is a holiday celebration sort of. I like that idea. You're playing it Sunday, aren't you?
I would imagine so.
You know, I'm going to buy a ticket. Here's what I'm going to do Sunday. I'm going to buy a ticket because I don't like to be let in for free. And I'm still going to come around to the back door and expect to be let backstage. How's that?
Well, yeah.
I'm going to buy a ticket and then go back out and come around and sneak in the stage door.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Sure.
All right.
You're always welcome back there.
And I don't care how bad my seat is. I'm not going to, you know, that's not why I'm there. I like supporting you. You and Maggie have done wonderful things in the last few years, man. She has become a big deal. Maggie May and Heartland Country, Sunday afternoon at the Crystal Grand up in Wisconsin Dells.
Yeah.
And is that your last Christmas show, your first
Christmas show? Yeah, we're only doing about four or five shows. I mean, they wind up being a rather large deal in that we've got the set there with the
Christmas trees
and the fake reindeer and the lights and this and that and whatever. Just it's a production. It really is. And then the little skits in there and it's based upon a Branson family style country show and there's a little bit of everything in there.
So is there Christmas yodeling? Does she yodel any Christmas songs?
There is a song that Santa Yodel, I think it's called.
Maggie May is famous for her yodeling, and when she does, half the crowd has these white towels that they flip around in the air every time she yodels.
Yeah, they're red for the Christmas season this time around.
Now that's clever. She decided they needed red to be, so they had to buy a second towel. I like that. Okay.
Yeah, they change them up every once in a while.
Did you guys play the Stoughton Opera House with this Christmas show once?
We've done that several times.
Yeah.
That's a nice room. I like that place.
Yeah. And but it's a little smaller. It's like 500-600 seats, right?
Yeah. I like that room. I like that.
It's really old fashioned. Yeah.
It's very close to that. In that the old style building and the Ringling Theater. Those are all places that we have played in the past, and I just love playing there. You look around and you just see all this. You tell there's so much history behind it.
Yeah, you know
it's so much fun. I'm lucky.
That's all well and good, but I don't know if people know that you're playing with me New Year's Eve at Sorrento's.
Well,
how about
they do
that?
Now, don't they?
They do now. And when I say playing with me, You know, I've always wished that I had worded that differently every time I say that. Stevie Ray is a fabulous multi-instrumentalist. He plays keyboard. He plays horns. With me, he plays guitar. He plays keyboard, drums on keyboard. He sings harmony. He does horn parts and cello parts and stuff on the guitar. He has a guitar synthesizer that will make any sound, and he plays very well. He's one of the best musicians in the Midwest, and
we got him
at Sorrento's for New Year's Eve, man.
Yeah, it's always a good time playing doing a show with you. In the past we were doing this on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Stevie and the Bee,
right,
which was your choice of name.
I know. I thought it was cute. Stevie and the Bee.
I liked it.
You were Stevie, right? You were Stevie.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and I was the Bee. Yeah, because
right.
I got all those Bees in my name. B-B-B-B-B. My initials are the same as my last name.
B-B-B-B-B.
Yeah.
Yeah, easy. Easy to remember.
We're playing 8 to 12, so that means Stevie will be there about 9:30. No. You're doing much better about being on time and being in good shape and all that stuff that used to be we wondered about. Anyway, and somebody's playing before us. I think it's Mark Lemaire and company from 6 to 8. So there'll be music for hours and hours on New Year's Eve. Make your reservations now. I'm going to give you a phone number. Write this down, 253-3300. That's the number at Sorrento's. If you can't stop by and make a reservation, call them up. And that number is answered all day and all night. So, but, Stevie, you got any decent Christmas jokes you've been telling, man?
Oh,
I hate to put you on the spot, I know.
No, but before the show begins,
yeah.
A couple of times I had asked if there was a gentleman, anybody by the name of Don in the audience.
Don.
Then I would read this note saying, okay, Don, we now are gay apparel. I don't understand why somebody would be telling Don this.
Don, yeah.
And something about falafel.
Falafel?
Yeah,
Is that falafel?
Hard
is
to read.
That's a kind of a baked. It's a baked good, isn't it? Isn't falafel?
Well, why they would put that in a note about gay apparel and falafel? I have no idea.
Falafel.
But that was, yeah,
it's like
that's
kofefe.
The Christmas joke that I would get to, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, I I'm going to tell you a couple of Christmas jokes now, just so they might jog one in your brain there. Did you hear about the two reindeer at the bar? One of them turned to the other one and he said, "Boy, I wish I had his dough."
We're here all week. Try the veal.
Yeah, my son told a couple on the last year about this time. He said, "What's the difference between regular alphabet and the Christmas alphabet? The Christmas alphabet has Noel."
Oh, brother.
Noel. Hey, these are they're not going to ever appear on this show unless they're like told by fifth graders or third graders. You know, like what about there were two snowmen out in the field, and one of them turned to the other one and he said, "Do you smell carrots?" Now, come on, isn't there? Hey, do you know why Frosty the Snowman broke up with his girlfriend?
No.
She was giving him the cold shoulder.
Oh,
yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh.
But, hey, come on.
Let it go.
Just
let it go.
Fake a little laugh there. What the heck? Come on.
I did.
No, you said, ooh, that's like I kicked you in the stomach. That's even
what?
Worse, you know?
Oh,
so anyway.
I thought a groan was as good as a laugh. Wasn't that something that you used to say when we were working together?
Yeah, a groan is as good as a laugh. I've bombed with that material so long.
There's no groan button on
no.
Facebook. I can't see one here.
No.
Well, yeah, there's the ha-ha, and there's the other, no. There is no groan.
Or there's the one where you cry.
Yeah, that's... I don't think we can. Yeah,
yeah, that could be that bad.
That,
yeah. You know why Santa is always so jolly?
What's that?
He knows the names and addresses of all the naughty little girls.
Oh, boy. I don't know if I tell
that
one
now. I can't tell that one now. Yeah, Roy Moore might hear it.
Things are just getting...
Roy Moore might be listening. Anyway, no, I shouldn't have said that either. Okay, what's Al Franken might be listening? Is that make it fair now? If Al Franken and if Al here's a what would happen now? Al Franken and Roy Moore walked into a bar. Does that sound like a setup for a joke there, right there?
Absolutely, I'll have it for you next week.
Yeah, Roy Moore and Al Franken in a bar. Yeah, oh, and Jeff Sessions walks in. Come on.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, we're getting off the subject. But anyway, we're looking forward to Sunday afternoon and New Year's Eve at Sorrento's, you and I. We make a big sound. He has a vocal harmonizer so that we can be the Beach Boys with all the harmony and the Four Seasons mm-hmm. with all the harmony. And we've got the drum machine and the keyboard and the fabulous guitar work that he does. So it's going to sound like a great big band. Make your reservations, 253-3300. What else? Have I reminded you? What else have you got cooking besides the Sunday show?
I have a few things going on in Tacoma. I was playing at Bernstead's Club,
right,
just outside of town.
That burned down or something,
store.
Didn't it? Yeah, it went away.
Yeah, it closed up, and now that store is no longer Bernstead's Grocery. It's Festival Foods,
right?
And the lounge is no longer.
A lounge. Okay.
So when Bernstein's got out of there, they decided to sell off the whole thing.
Okay.
And now there's a place called District 5, which is downtown in Tacoma, and I'll be there doing my solo show with all the bells and whistles.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll just play guitar.
No.
Maybe I'll just do that. But I've got three Thursdays in a row, the 14th, 21st, and 28th of this month. I'll be playing at District 5. It used to be called Sportsman's.
Now, why are they doing Thursdays, Stevie?
Well, this is what I was doing at Bernstead's, and there were some people, several people that were following me. Thank
yeah.
you all for that, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
That had been asking, where are you playing again in Tacoma? And boy, would it be great to do this Thursday thing again. Now, a lot of places in Tacoma were having entertainment, if that's to be read, karaoke.
Yeah.
Or DJ
yeah.
throughout
yeah.
the week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would be like a Sunday or a Tuesday or a Thursday or whatever. And when we initially did that at Bernstead, we decided on Thursday because it was a night that no one else was using.
Yeah.
The Limeys were doing something at the Teepee in Tacoma for Wednesdays for years.
Okay.
And that was kind of set up as kind of the normal, that's what you did on Wednesday night. And I tried to continue that,
right.
And it worked rather well. So that's why we
did Wednesday nights back in early middle 2000s somewhere, didn't we?
That's right. Yeah,
Wednesday
we did
nights.
At the Carlton. That's right.
For almost a year, we did Wednesday nights. That was kind of, you know, and that leaves you and me free to do paying gigs on the weekend that usually do all right. You know, so if you can find those Wednesdays and Thursday gigs, that's. That's a
and Tacoma not being the well, we're in a fairly good place as far as geographically where we are, but it's nothing like Madison where you have so much to do and where you have like an entertainment newspaper. Not so much with Tacoma.
Lots
so
of
I'm
young people too.
We
have lots of young people in Madison. That's the difference too. People that are out looking for music 7 nights a week.
Right.
You know, Tacoma doesn't have that. You know.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun for the two of us to put on a little bit of a show on your webcast.
Oh yeah,
and give people an idea just what this is about because you can see what we're doing. That's a lot of fun.
You can use the tables
maybe
here.
Maybe get back doing this in Madison sometime. That'd be
fun. Oh yeah. I always wanted to turn Madison on its ear, but I could never give them a weekend. I always played, you know, Mondays and Tuesdays at the Ivory Room, or, you know, Tuesday nights at the Avenue Bar. Yeah, you can't really expect to get big crowds and make them have super amount of fun on Tuesdays and Mondays. But that was a kind of a young person's dream I had, too. I'm maybe too old now to light Madison up. But I sure would like to do that on the podcast sometime soon, man. Maybe right after Christmas, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be
that
good.
That sounds good. I've got a few weeks that I have to be. I'm going to be down in Texas and Arizona with Maggie doing an acoustic duo in some of the RV parks down there for the vacationers.
For the snowbirds.
There are some, they call them winter Texans. They don't like the term snowbird down there.
That's winter true. Texans, okay.
Rather irate about it. Like, what's the difference? Why is that offensive? I don't get it. But, yeah, hey, we'll be playing for those folks. And
Stevie, I'll see you Sunday. I gotta get a couple of these Christmas songs in, and we gotta go in about 4 or 5 minutes anyway. Thanks a million for calling in. Once again, you made the show.
Well, thank you for having me on.
We'll see you Sunday, and we'll do it in here one of these days, too.
I love it. I love
all right,
it.
Man. Stevie Ray Nelson. All right, I was going to do... I was going to do a couple of these Christmas songs that we used to sing when we were caroling that I don't play at Sorrento's in the bar thing. Yeah, it's just going to be a few... I really love the song. It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, with angels banding near the earth to touch their hearts of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, all heavens, all gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. And then we sing, oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, oh, come. I do O Holy Night at Sorrento's. I wrote that down here, but I'm not going to get to it. How about God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, let heaven... remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we are gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. And, oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in thy dark streets shine the everlasting light. The hopes and dreams of all the years are met in thee tonight. All right, and then we always left him with, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I don't know what the heck we're going to do on the next three Wednesdays before Christmas. We kind of blew our whole Christmas wad here. Brian Beebe on MadisonTalks.com, brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill and Sorrento's at the Wilderness. We'll see you next week.